another Thursday edition of Sports Look here on CARE Radio. Great to have you with us. Sports Look brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management and Gerber Electric, Taco John's, Exchange Bank. Tom Couts, Gus Couts with you. And, well, Gus, I don't know where to begin. The high school basketball season is about halfway through tournament weeks. We had some tournaments last week, some going on now, and you always talk about this is your division point between the three segments of the season.
Yeah, you talk about it. You know, you have your pre-Christmas break. You have Christmas break until you get to kind of tournament week. And then once tournament week's over, it's just a mad dash to the finish line until you get to sub-state.
And that said, of course, here at Get Ready, we're going to be having high school basketball tomorrow night. They're going to be down in Winchester, Kansas, the Jefferson County North Girls Invitational Tournament. And we'll be having games from there on CARE Radio. And, of course, then we usually talk about the upcoming sports schedule. We've got Benedictine Saturday. We're going to be talking Ravens basketball. And so continues to be, you know, a good, hectic kind of a time around here. And we saw a lot of fun tournaments go off last week. And it was kind of fun to watch some of them. And we had games throughout the course of the week coming from, you know, McLeod and coming from Oskaloosa. And I don't know if it's a sign of the times, Gus, and we could talk about this a little bit. In the old days, I say that because I'm old, there were really more tournament formats. Now, McLeod did carry out the tournament formats, but much like in what JC is doing this week, it is more pool play, fewer teams involved, so putting together that full-blown bracket, just not as easy as it used to be.
Yeah, you know, you used to see these tournaments where you had a lot of different teams coming together, and it was, you know, a big tournament. Next thing you know, you were, you know, Saturday turned into a full day of consolation games leading all the way up to a championship game. Now it seems like you see fewer teams, a little more of a classical idea, and I think the fewer teams idea really comes down to there were just more of these tournaments around, right? Like, I mean, years ago, there were like two tournaments. And now everywhere you look, it seems like another school has started up a tournament. There are four teams there. You play, you know, more like the college game where you have those preseason classics. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a little bit of an adjustment right now. And it'll be interesting to see if that kind of stays or if we trend back towards, you know, having those full-blown tournament-type setups.
Yeah, and there are some games going on around the area. You know, you've got ACCHS, JCN coming up tonight. That's going to be a guys' game. You've got Atchison going to Jackson Heights. You have what I think is going to be a fun game. Nemaha Central at Hayden and girls tonight and guys. And you've got ACCHS girls. They're up in Hiawatha. They got an 8 o'clock tip at that up there. So those are going to be some kind of fun games. That's that at Hiawatha, of course. Hiawatha, you talk about the big tournaments. Hiawatha always had great tournaments up at the Roundhouse. You would have Tonganoxie had, you know, the tournament to be in. And Atchison, mm-hmm. you know, was always in that one. So, yeah, those are some of those still continuing around and games coming on tonight. And, of course, coming up this weekend, Friday night, just a full slate of teams playing ball. We're going to have Hiawatha traveling down the road just a short distance at Horton. You've got Centralia and Hanover and some of those teams out that direction. Jeff West will go to Perry LeCompton in the Big 7. You've got Royal Valley at home. Royal Valley, one of the best teams in the state. They are going to be hosting Mission Valley. Silver Lake travels to Sabetha. Marysville going to be up at Nemaha Central. So you've got all that going on. And we like to throw in here the wrestling coming up tonight and tomorrow night as well. Tonight you've got Wabunsee hosting McLeod and Onega, and you've got a Holton double duel with the ACCHS and Royal Valley, and so some great wrestling going on around the area also this upcoming weekend. Morehill Mount Academy is coming in Friday night. They're going to go to Jeff West.
Yeah, you can have Morehill Mount Academy and Jeff West on Friday night. Sabetha at Jeff West, Oskaloosa there, Atchison there. So Jeff West putting together a nice little tournament for tomorrow night. So it looks like Jeff West, Morehill, Sabetha, Oskaloosa, and Atchison. So again, you kind of talk about spanning over some, you know, bigger classification, smaller classification, bringing them all together at that tournament. So again, not just basketball, but wrestling. Kind of fun this time of the year, getting a lot of those teams that you're not used to seeing together. You know, we talked about it on the girls' side of basketball the other day. Harmon played Jackson Heights in ladies basketball in Atchison. Is going to turn around and play Jackson Heights in girls basketball. So those are some teams that don't see each other. So, you know, ACCHS, Hiawatha, that used to be a Big Seven matchup. Now they don't play each other very often. So, again, it's just kind of a fun time to see some of these teams that, you know, maybe you're not used to, at least in recent memories, those teams getting together.
And updating real quick, we'll take a quick glance as we are in our high school segment here of the standings going on around the area conferences on the girls' side in the Northeast Kansas League. That's what I've got pulled up here. And ACCHS has the most wins, but they don't have the best record. ACCHS at 9-1 in the league, at 10-2 overall. Jackson Heights, 8-0 in the Northeast Kansas League, and they are 10-0 overall. The line drops drawn right there after those two teams, and then you've got 500 or below teams beyond that, with Horton and Valley at 4-4, JC and 4-5, McLeod 3-5, MHMA 3-5, 3-6 at Pleasant Ridge and Oskaloosa. Look at that win here this season.
You jump to the guys' side, it almost makes your bell curve that you like, right? It's pretty spot on. Valley Falls boys are out top at 8-0. Jefferson County North at 7-1, Pleasant Ridge at 7-2, Moore Hill Mount Academy sitting there at the four spot at 5-3. Draw the line there, because right below it you've got Jackson Heights and ACCHS at 4-5, Horton at 2-7, Oskaloosa at 1-7, and McLeod looking for their first win. So, I mean, you start to pull apart that boys' side, and it lines up just perfectly. Valley Falls, how about them, though? 8-0 in league standings. They are 12-0 overall, but JCM putting together a really nice year. They are 7-1 in league play. They are 9-3 overall. Pleasant Ridge, 7-2, 9-3. So, there's some really good teams on that guy's side, and you talk about some good teams and maybe even jumping into the rankings. We talked about Valley Falls leading the Northeast Kansas League. How about the Valley Falls boys are the number three team in the state of Kansas in the most recent basketball poll?
Yeah, we've gotten to see Valley Falls quite a few times here on CARE so far this season. Coach Gatzmeyer has them playing really well. They are fast. They get up and down the floor. They shoot well. And we're going to get a chance to look at them again next week, because how about this great matchup on the 31st next Monday? It is going to be Valley Falls at Mar Hill Mount Academy, and so that should be a tremendous, tremendous ball game in Atchison. Then you've got Jefferson County North going to Valley Falls, but not for a couple of weeks until 18th of February.
Yeah, so, I mean, and you talk about Coach Gatzmeyer. He's put together a good program out there at Valley Falls, and, I mean, it seems like most years they are kind of in that mix for winning the Northeast Kansas League. In a lot of years, they're in that mix where you're kind of talking about them as, you know, a real contender when it comes to sub-states and even into state play.
Next week, we're going to go into much greater depth. We're going to start really focusing on the sub-states, because after tournament week, it is moving month. And so
I was just going to say, next week, you know, by the time we get back for Sportsbook, you're going to be looking at, what, already February 3rd. We're going to be into moving month. Benedictine will only have, what, like maybe five games left or something to that point. So, again, it'll be very quick before we're, you know, diving into those sub-states and getting ready and trying to figure out, you know, the schedule and who's going where and doing what. So it's rapidly approaching, and not really sure where the time has gone this year.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. We got lots of stuff to talk about. We're going to come back, talk Benedictine basketball and a ton of other stuff. Sports Look continues here on K-Radio right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on CARE. Gus Couts with me, Tom Couts. And last night up at the Nolan Gymnasium, it was a tremendous crowd. I mean, the people were having fun. They were there in great numbers, and it's always nice to see that, and it's especially nice when you can couple that with a really good win. And for the Benedictine ladies, they did that on Atchison Heroes Night. They got by Evangel 73-56. It was a good one for Benedictine up there.
Yeah, the Lady Ravens having no real problems with Evander in that ball game. Jump out to a 10-point lead after a quarter, still up 10 at the break, and then in the second half, you know, one each quarter by 2 and 5, and, you know, that'll put you at a 73-56 win in that ball game. And for Coach Folsom's ladies, they're learning to play without some players and trying to overcome some injuries. And you noticed that last night when you see Skylar Washington playing 31 minutes, not a surprise. But Kennedy Nicholson, how about that? Last night she played 31 minutes, had 4 points, 3 assists, I mean 3 rebounds. You're asking a lot of a freshman at this time of the year from Kennedy. Aaliyah Raines has stepped in and played quite a few minutes. She had 26 last night, so 26 minutes. So right now, getting a lot of production from some players that, you know, just needed to step up and have done it really well right now.
Yeah, you talk about Kennedy, great job by a freshman. You talk about Aaliyah Raines. She's got just so many skills that she's been able to switch her game up a little bit. I mean, she's normally at that 2-3, but Benedictine short at the point guard position. So Aaliyah Raines has put that hat on, and sometimes you'll see her out there running the club, bringing it down at the one. She did that a lot of that in high school. She's a tremendously skilled athlete, and so she is making some adjustments. Now, it does not let her maybe score quite as much. She had 8 last night, but it also still makes her a pivotal and crucial part of that team. But right now, Gus, what I'm really liking about the Benedictine ladies is they have begun to really figure out how to implement and utilize a height advantage that they have over. Well, I haven't seen a team that can compare with them with size yet. And Natalie Samarin is 6'2". Allie Brzozowski is 6'1". And you go to the bench and you bring in a 6'3" player who's just beginning to figure it out. Didn't play last year due to an injury. And Kyra Misiraka is... she's been a diamond for this team.
Yeah, you kind of went to where I was kind of aiming towards next, is the post play for Benedictine. That's what they used Saturday up in Oskaloosa to really put some distance between them and the Statesmen. And they're using it to their advantage. I mean, look at Natalie Samarin. She scored 6 points last night, 3 of 6 shooting. Allie Brzozowski puts up 15 points. Kyra Misiraka comes off the bench, plays more minutes than Brzozowski and Samarin, as Misiraka came in for 22 minutes, scores 15 points, but what I like, she goes 7 of 9 from the floor, right? I mean, I need my post, because you're shooting those closer shots to hit a higher percentage of them, and she did just that. She hit her only free throw attempted. So right now, Misiraka has been a real nice addition into the middle for this team, and it's probably making a big difference in how this team's playing right now.
I think Kyra is more of a, and kind of give me your thoughts about this, she is more of a traditional classic five. You've got, yep. You talked about the outside shot. Allie Brzozowski, absolutely happy to shoot the three. You got Natalie out there. She got in a little foul trouble last night and only ended up with 15 minutes because she had to spend some bench time. But Natalie is very willing and able to shoot the three. Kyra's saying, thank you, no, I'm going to take that 6 foot in shot. And you mentioned 7-9, 1-1 at the free throw line. That is classic post play.
Yeah, I mean, again, we talk about it. I don't need my post to really dribble the ball, ever. I don't need my post to come out and shoot a lot of threes. And Misiraka is just kind of that old school five. I mean, she doesn't really flex to the four much. She's going to need to be on the low block, posting you up. She might step out and hit that 7 foot baseline jumper. She might hit that shot, you know, in the lane, but she's not really going to extend out to the 15 foot line for that shot. So again, Misiraka is, you know, that prototypical five in a player now that, you know, for the future, you can kind of build around in the middle.
Games that went on in the conference last night on the ladies' side, it was Central Methodist winning at Evangel. Valley went to Park winning by 10. You had Clark, a 20 point win at Mount Mercy. William Penn snuck by Peru State for a rare win for them, 79-74. It was Grandview over Culver Stockton, 69-54. And I don't know where Mid-America's been. They've struggled a little bit, and Baker's not real good. But my goodness, how do you win at Baker, over Baker, 70-38? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, now taking a look at the standings in the ladies' side of things, how about Clark? 12-0 in the conference, 21-2. I'm going to tell you, back when we started, you know, the basketball season, I didn't think we would get to February and have a ladies' team still undefeated. And now that seems very possible, right? I mean, Clark is, you know, one more game on Saturday away from being able to get into February undefeated. The guys, we didn't have an undefeated team going into Christmas break. So, you know, but right now Clark is just playing excellent basketball. They're 21-2, they're 12-0. Grandview not far behind at 11-1 and 19-4. Drops off big time after that. Mount Mercy at 7-5, Culver at 4-8, Peru at 3-8, Penn at 3-9, and Graceland at 2-10. Then you jump to the South Division. It's muddy.
Do you agree with that? It is a mess. And the team that a lot of people thought was going to be so full of talent that they would run away with it absolutely has not. They've had some illness issues and have had to forfeit a couple of games. But Central Methodist, they're 18-4 overall, so they have, you know, one of the very best conference overall records. And yet, that South, they're not running away with anything.
Yeah, Central Methodist, you talk about it. They are 10-0 in non-conference games. They are 18-4 overall, so 8-4 in the conference. Benedictine at 8-4, Mid-America at 8-4. Then you drop down to Evangel, right behind them at 7-5. Valley continues to sneak up. They are 6-6. Then you've got Baker at 3-9 and Park. Just kind of looking to get to the end of the month at 1-10 in conference play. They are 7-10 overall. You talk about Coach Moody always calling February a moving month. Well, there's going to be a lot of moving in the next couple weeks in this South Division. I think, you know, you can't really count any team out. I mean, other than probably Baker and Park, but look at Missouri Valley. Right now, they are fifth in the conference, and they're, what, two games back? So, again, it's just crazy in the South Division. The North Division, really the only thing to keep an eye on is Clark and Grandview will play again and to see kind of what happens there. But those two teams really running away with the North Division. I'm going to tell you, Clark is in the national tournament. Grandview is in the national tournament. Then you turn to the South Division, and it's going to be a fight to get in.
So what you're saying, let me read it between the lines here, is up at the Nolan at noon Saturday, you're going to be able to go up and watch two teams play one another, two teams at the top of their divisions in the conference, who are both going to be in the national tournament, play one another.
This Saturday?
Yeah, isn't that Clark Benedictine Saturday?
Yeah. I thought Mount Mercy was this weekend, right?
Yeah.
No, you're right, Clark. Yeah.
I thought it was Clark.
I get them mixed up because, to me, they're both kind of interchangeable. But, yes, it is Clark, so it should be, you know, turns into a fantastic game. Because, yeah, then next weekend, I guess, we go to Cedar Rapids to take on Mercy. So, yeah, I mean, you get the best team in the North Division coming in on Saturday. You've got the best team in the South Division. Should be a classic game.
Yeah.
Don't forget, that is a 12 o'clock tip-off for the ladies in that one.
Noon in the Nolan. And, again, won't both of these teams go to the national tournament?
Yeah. I mean, for sure, Clark has punched their ticket, and the Lady Ravens have done nothing to hurt, you know, their status. So, again, I think this conference gets four. I think it's Central Methodist and Benedictine out of the South, unless Mid-America can somehow win the conference tournament. And then in the North, I think it's Grandview. I think it's Clark. So, yeah, I mean, I think those are your four teams right now in the ladies' side that will make the national tournament.
Hey, we're looking forward to bringing you that game Saturday. Again, Clark Benedictine, ladies' game is at noon. We're going to talk about the guys and the guys' game then on Saturday. We'll be back. More Sports Look coming your way right after this. Happy to have you with us here on Sports Look this afternoon on Kent Radio. Last night, that's the Benedictine guys with Evangel. What a tremendous game. It was close throughout. It was back and forth a little bit. And when it was all said and done, regulation just wasn't enough for these teams as it goes into overtime. And the Raven defense, and it was a matter of defense on these two, for both of these teams, the two best defenses in the conference. and only, you know, nobody got to 60 points. And Evangel in overtime did not score a field goal, but they were able to hit some of the free throw line and come away with that OT win at Benedictine last night. It was an exciting game, but for the Ravens, probably a little frustrating to have not been able to pull that thing out at home.
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime you're talking about home games in the conference, you're always looking to win those, right? And for last night, I mean, it was just a lid on the bucket for Benedictine. I mean, they were 16 of 61 from the floor for 26%. They struggled a little bit from behind the arc at 18%. But I think the one number that really is just going to kind of jump at Coach Moody is that 15 of 23 from the free throw line. You're like, well, that's eight. But free throws, you'd like to shoot, you know, probably 10% better than that. You're like, I think you need to be more three quarters than 65%. But, you know, just one of those nights where a lot of things just were going right for the Ravens, 15 turnovers, and yet they found themselves taking it to overtime and losing the 7-2 in the overtime and falling 58-53 to a very good Evangel team at home.
Yeah, when your defenses are so good that neither team is able to hit 30% of their shots, I mean, they were both under 30% on the game. You have, you know, each team had 48 rebounds. I mean, you're making a lot of missed shots happen here, and that is some great defense. And for Benedictine, but the defense was spectacular, I thought.
Yeah, I think Coach has to be happy with, like, you start breaking it down a little further. Edrell Martinborough was the conference player of the week just a few weeks ago, and Benedictine was able to hold him to only 2 points last night. They forced him into 3 turnovers and limited him on the boards to only 4 rebounds. So, again, you did a great job on Martinborough, but it was just some nights the ball doesn't bounce your way type night for the Ravens, and now they're going to have to bounce back and get Clark coming to the Nolan on Saturday. And we talked about this during the Penn game last Saturday, and we'll talk about it a lot on the remainder of the season. Benedictine has one long road trip left. That's the trip up to Cedar Rapids next Saturday. But then you've got at Olathe and at Park. But you still got a handful of home games left here in February. So, again, it's kind of a nice way to end out the regular season is none of those real long bus rides other than, like I said, Cedar Rapids coming up next Saturday.
Yep. A couple of other real quick things about last night's game. I thought it was a breakout game for Ahmad Lewis. That young man has come into the program, and he's earned more playing time and earned more playing time. And now with the injury to Bristol, who's still in street clothes last night, he's getting more time and really made it count. 17 points. I thought he was just fantastic. And for the Ravens, though, now, 13-8 on the season, 7-5 in the conference. The wiggle room starting to get pretty tight as far as games you can afford to not win.
Yeah, you start looking at the standings in the conference. Benedictine falls to 7-5 overall. They're 13-8 overall, 7-5 in the Heart of America Athletic Conference. But again, you're just right there at winning the South Division. You win your division, you're going to get your automatic bid into the national tournament. So for the Ravens, the only real problem right now with overall record is you have a feeling that that's going to affect your seeding and maybe even where you get sent for that first week of, I don't know, what do you call it, like pod play where you go into those little 3-team pods. But for the Ravens, again, you still have that sights set on winning the conference crown, and it's right there. I mean, you are, what, 5 games above 500, but you're only 1 game out of first place?
Yes, and no team in the South has single-digit wins. Every team in the South is 500 and above. That's just how strong that is.
Yep. Taking a look at the two divisions, first of all, in the North, William Penn, the number one team now in the nation. They are 20-1 overall, 11-1 in conference play. Mount Mercy at 7-5, Grandview at 7-5, 5-7 sees Clark in Peru, 4-8 is Culver. Graceland, a couple wins so far in the conference play. Jumping to the South Division. Wow, right? I mean, you can mark out Missouri Valley, which I, you know, had you told me that a month and a half ago, I would say you're crazy. because I thought Chad Lance had his guys like on that roller coaster early on and playing pretty well, but now it just doesn't seem like they're a part of the conference race, but they're still a 500 team at 11-11.
Yeah, and you come into the last seven games of the season, the other six teams in this division are within two games of first.
Ridiculous, right? So, you know, you talk about Evangel at 8-4, Park at 7-5, Benedictine at 7-5. Take a half a step down. Central Methodist, Baker, Mid-America, all at 6-6. And I'm going to tell you, Mid-America, one of those teams, they might be 6-6, maybe scare me a little bit down the stretch, because isn't this the time that you can hear Rocky? I think I hear him right now. Go win one for the Gipper, because, I mean, I feel like Rocky can kind of start pulling on some heartstrings and maybe finding a game here and there, and that's always a dangerous place to be, because Mid-America is 500 overall. So a lot of good basketball left to be played in that South Division, and with that being said, got a full slate of games going on this weekend.
Yeah, there are games of the conference, the 12-2 games. The ladies at 12 and the guys at 2 would be Mount Mercy, Missouri Valley, the Clark at Benedictine games that we'll have, of course, here on Care Radio, and William Penn traveling all the way down to Evangel. So those are going to be the games at 12-2. The 2-4 o'clock games are going to be Baker at Culver Stockton, Peru at Central Methodist, Park hosting Graceland, and Mid-America at home in the Cook Center with Grandview. So some pretty good games going on up and down the conference. And again, we're in full slate action right now.
Yeah, next week, Benedictine is going to be home next Wednesday night with Central Methodist. So again, you talk about that ladies' schedule coming up. They're going to have to play, Clark on Saturday, Central Methodist on Wednesday. So they've got kind of a full slate between now and the next time we're back for Sports Look.
And I'm kind of curious to see the setup of the gymnasium at Benedictine on Saturday. Coach Moody talked about it a little bit in the post-game interview. They're going to take the big bleachers on the, what I'm going to call the south end, the pit area where the band is at, and not pull them out. Instead, they're going to rope that off and bring out tables and chairs. They're going to have dining. There's going to be food service there. They're going to be selling meals and, you know, stuff to eat down there. And he says, you come in for the game, you know, you're there for 5 or 6 hours. Certainly that's what we were there last night. And, you know, you want a little something, just going to be a little ambiance change. And it could be kind of fun. It's going to be really interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how that all shakes out. This may become a new thing. You may be, it's like dinner and a movie, only basketball and dinner.
Yeah, I was going to say, but the only problem is, you know, like, we're going to have to put up a little gate so that, you know, I don't look around and wonder where you're at, because you're down there.
You won't have to look.
Pull up a lazy boy or something.
Yeah.
And
pulled pork right here, please. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
Hey, we've got stuff to talk about, and I think there's football coming up Sunday somewhere around here. Let me do a little research, see if we can figure out what that's all about. We'll be back.
Pro Bowl's next Sunday.
Oh, that's another week. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sports Look continues right after this. Sports Look here on Care Radio, KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison, and Gus, the Kansas City Chiefs, they had no problem with their last game, right? They took the Buffalo Bills, dominated them, more or less.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when anytime you put up 42 points against the best defense in the NFL, it's just never in question for a second.
Right. Well,
wow, was that a crazy game?
It was incredible. Everybody's calling it an instant classic. It's probably fair to say it is also renewed interest in the overtime rules in the NFL. The Kansas City Chiefs fans have been talking about this for, what, about 3 years now? It seems to me like that they were in a situation that had them talking about the same topic.
But, okay, let's throw this back into your court. How do you feel about the overtime?
You know what? I've heard so many different sides of it. I'm not a real fan of how they do it. I don't know that they could do it. I've seen several different, you know, options thrown out. I don't think that they could do it like the college, where each team gets a possession at the 25. I don't think that that would work in the NFL. I don't like the fact that you could just have so much luck in the flip of the coin and drive down, score a touchdown, and call it a day. However, I also understand the argument that, you know what, if you don't want that to happen, tell your defense, don't let them score a touchdown, okay? Play some defense and make a stop already. So
yeah, I think it's so much better than it used to be, because it used to be a coin toss, get across midfield, kick a field goal, and call it a game. Like, that always drove me nuts. Like, because, seriously, when it was the first score wins the game, that's all any team did, right? Try to get into field goal range, kick a field goal, walk off, ball game. At least the touchdown makes it a little more interesting. I like the idea that, you know, somebody proposed the other day of play one more 10-minute quarter, okay, one whole quarter, and make it where extra points are gone. You can't kick any field goals. You can't kick extra points. You have to go for two.
See, I've heard that one thrown around, too, and that's not terrible. Although a lot of people are going to say, my gosh, I got to sit there for another 10 minutes. Well, I'm telling you what, if a game is good enough to go to overtime, you know, you've earned and you deserve that extra time. The Players Association may not like it.
Yeah, see, there's the problem. The Players Association has already buckled to allow one more game to 17. I just don't know that they're going to really be up for changing the overtime rules. But again, I think the touchdown, at least it's fair to, you know, defense just hold them out of the end zone, right? Give up a field goal. You can do that all game. Don't give up a touchdown. So,
and
again,
maybe this could just be a postseason format and leave the other one intact for regular season games.
Yeah, and I think that if you're going to make any change, that's how the change is going to have to be used. It will have to be only to postseason and not really affect the regular season. But there were some fantastic games all weekend. If you're the NFL, you hit a grand slam last weekend and everybody was smiling, you know, in the corporate offices Monday morning.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm an LSU fan, always have kind of liked him, thought Joe Burrow was a great quarterback there, but let's be very honest, I think as he comes in Arrowhead, even though they're trying to play in their stadium and practice, and they've got all the speakers turned up with crowd noise trying to simulate that, and Burrow gives you some of that that bulletin board material by saying Arrowhead's no louder than any of the other SEC places that he's been to on the road, it's going to be very hard for the Bengals, I think, to go into Arrowhead and win this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for Kansas City, it's a revenge game, and there's nothing good about playing a good team like Kansas City in that kind of a revenge game. I think Joe Burrow has maybe talked a little much, and if I'm Cincinnati, I'm probably not as confident because, again, they're a team who gave up 9 sacks last week and somehow still won. And the only reason they won is because Ryan Tannehill turns around and throws 4 interceptions. I'm not going to go as far to say that Patrick Mahomes isn't going to throw an interception. I won't go as far to say he might not throw 2. I'm going to probably feel safe saying that I don't expect Patrick Mahomes to throw 4 interceptions on Sunday against the Bengals.
No, and you look at the numbers for the game, Kansas City comes in as a 7-point favorite and an over-under 54.5. That's a crazy big number.
Yeah, so Kansas City, what, a 7-point favorite, 54.5 is the over-under. I think they're, again, the people in the desert know what they're doing, and I'm going to guess that's probably pretty fair. I think Kansas City probably wins this game by 10, you know, 9, something like that. I think that, you know, the Bengals might score one late, but, again, the Chiefs are looking at this as just a revenge game, and I think that, you know, everybody will be ready for this thing. I know that Tyrann Mathieu is not out of concussion protocol yet, but everything you're hearing coming out of the Kansas City organization, everything you're hearing coming from Tyrann says that, you know, he fully expects to be back this weekend. You're also going to bring back what I think is probably your best cornerback right now, and that's Rashawn Fenton should play on Saturday or Sunday. So, again, you're going to be fully healthy going into this game in 4 straight AFC title games in Arrowhead. Did you think you'd see that?
No, that's just craziness. Those things just never happen. It's a phenomenal achievement, and they've still got that streak alive. Now, shifting gears a little bit, you talk about revenge games. I'll tell you a team that you cannot overlook, and I think everybody is. Guys with a revenge game on their mind would be the 49ers. And I'm not talking about this Sunday. They're looking big picture.
Yeah, I think the 49ers are starting to kind of peek forward and say, man, here's our chance to maybe get back what we thought was the biggest, you know, letdown in probably 49er history, is that Super Bowl that it looked like they were going to win, and then all of a sudden Patrick does Patrick things, and the 49ers lose that game to the Kansas City Chiefs. But, again, they're going to have a big roadblock in front of them on Sunday as they'll be at the Rams. L.A., a 3.5-point favorite. Remember that at home, you're going to get a 3-point bump. So, really, that's a toss-up tie game. The over-under 46. The 49ers have beat the Rams, what, 6 or 8 straight times now? And I think that could be a great game. I expect the 49ers game to be a little better than the Chiefs game.
The next thing is, you talk about the 3 points or something for a home team, well, then that should be given to 49ers because it is going to be a 49ers home crowd there. And I think San Francisco wins this game. I really believe that.
Yeah, so I'm sure everybody has seen the talk that you can buy tickets if you're a 49ers fan on the secondary market, okay? You cannot buy tickets from the Rams box office if you're a 49ers fan. Because they have now restricted sales to only people with an LA zip code out of the 49 or out of the Rams box office. So for 49ers fans to get into that game, they're going to have to find them on the secondary market. Of course, those numbers are going to be bumped, but those people are going to find those tickets. Those people are going to go to that game. I expect it to be maybe a little heavy 49ers crowd because again, the Rams just haven't built up much of a fan base. It's just kind of like the Chargers. I think that L.A. is cool for football. I think SoFi is awesome. And I would like to see Kansas City at SoFi here in a couple weeks. But, again, for the Rams, you kind of dangle that golden carrot of this could be 2 years in a row. How many years did you not have a home team in the national championship game? Now you could be looking at it in back-to-back years. So could be a big game. I think it'll be fun. I mean, toss a quarter. I really think the Rams probably find some way to get it done in that game.
Other NFL news real quick, because we got to get through this. Our sports look this evening, we got so much stuff going on. Announcement came earlier today. They talked about it. Everybody predicted it. Everybody said it was going to happen. But now, in fact, Ben Roethlisberger has retired.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger announces his retirement this morning. I don't think anybody had any question about it, right? I just think that it's one of those things that when it happens, everybody just takes a minute, reflects on the career that was Ben Roethlisberger. And, you know, you talk about a first-round draft pick coming out of Miami of Ohio, right? Not even the real Miami, the one that, you know, the wannabe school in Ohio. He put together a fantastic career in the last 2 years, though. Just didn't look like himself. Not a big surprise that, you know, he's going to retire, but it's also cool that he was able to spend his entire career with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep, not many quarterbacks are able to do that, and so hats off to him for that. Head coaches are getting hired, and it's that time of the year for those teams who are yet not playing anymore. And I tell you what, the Broncos made a hire I'm a little surprised at.
I'm not. I think at the end of the day, it is more of a strategic hire because you're going to see the Broncos are hiring the Packers offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, as the new head coach. I think that the Broncos are now hiring him, looking to try to pull Aaron Rodgers into Denver. The only problem is, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you've never been good. You've never been great. You've always been good, right? You've struggled to make Super Bowls. You've only won one at this point of your career. You thought you were going to be a little better. You lost a home playoff game the other day. Why would you want to go into the AFC West and see Herbert and see Patrick Mahomes and then see all these great AFC quarterbacks? If I were him, I would continue to stay in the NFC and try to reap the benefits of maybe an easier path. But I think that the Broncos are really positioning themselves for a big run at Aaron Rodgers here.
Quickly shifting gears to college basketball at the NCAA is Kansas. Man, they're playing well enough to win. And I guess when it's all said and done, the number in the W column is what amounts to everything. Kansas is able to escape the other night with an extra minutes win.
Yeah, so you talk about Kansas. They go back. They beat Oklahoma the other night, like right at the end, hit a big three from Christian Brown. Then you go to Manhattan, and I'm going to tell you, Bruce is probably still popping in asses after that ball game, because K-State was up 16 at the half. KU only had one timeout left in the second half, and somehow Kansas comes back to beat Kansas State in that ball game. And then you turn your attention to, was it Tuesday night? They go into double overtime before they were able to come away with a win there. And Saturday, they're going to have their hands full. Number 5 Kansas is going to host the Wildcats. But
yes,
a different Wildcats.
Blue Wildcats, Kentucky Wildcats. So KU is going to be hosting number 12 Kentucky Saturday. 2 days later, they go on the road to number 23 Iowa State. Their schedule, the RPI has got to be off the hook.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but Kansas, again, year in and year out, a lot of people will say, well, but Kansas has never really backed down from playing that big game, right? You always have a cupcake or two on the schedule, but it's not like the, I'm going to drop it. It's not the K-State football schedule under Bill Snyder, right? You're not playing four really bad teams. Like, Kansas doesn't have a problem playing a Kentucky. They don't have a problem playing a Duke, a Michigan State, a Gonzaga last year. Because, again, you do have more games than basketball. You can make up from that. But I think it should be good. And then, yeah, you talk about Tuesday going up to Ames, and Hilton is always a tough place to play. And so Kansas not playing the best basketball in the world, but they are finding ways to win games. And Saturday, Kansas State is going to be on the road, and they're going down to Mississippi, and I believe, what is that? Isn't that Oxford, Mississippi, and taking on Ole Miss? That is a Saturday 3 p.m. game. So, again, a lot of fun hoops action going on this time of the year.
Yep, a lot of hoops coming up here on KU Radio, as well as we're going to be tomorrow night at the Jefferson County North Tournament, high school hoops. Then Saturday, midday noon for the ladies, 2 o'clock for the guys, Benedictine in the Nolan. And they're going to be hosting Clark, and then we're off next week full-time. I mean, we're not off. We're off to the races with games virtually every night. We want to thank you for having joined us here on Sports Look. Anything else before we get away?
Nope. I think that did it.
There we go. For our great sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, Taco John's Exchange Bank, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.